The Adam Dream Allegory. The second chapter of Genesis declares that the Lord God made Adam from the dust of the ground. First Chronicles provides this record: Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Henoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, and so on. The intent seems to be to trace the lineage of mankind through its early history, from father to son. We ask ourselves, am I a descendant of Adam, a figure formed from dust, one who broke Jehovah's command, was cast out of Eden, and left to endlessly till the soil, suffer, and die? Or is this record an allegory for the human mind? We know that everything in Scripture has a purpose. Is the record an attempt to validate our mortal existence and impaired connection with the Lord God? Or is there a higher purpose? Christian Science provides the key. Mary Baker Eddy writes, "No one can reasonably doubt that the purpose of this allegory, this second account in Genesis, is to depict the falsity of error and the effects of error." But what about Adam's so-called progeny, the other actors in his recorded lineage? We honor Enoch, Adam's grandson, for being translated out of material form without experiencing death. And we revere Noah, Adam's seventh great-grandson, for saving his family and Earth's animals, and say these events really happened. The entire Hebrew nation and the Arab world claims Abraham as their father, all descendants of Adam and Eve. And so it goes, all the way up to Jesus and beyond. If we follow this line of reasoning, the inevitable question arises, is Jesus Adam's progeny? And does his physical body present a continuation of the allegory? Mary Baker Eddy writes, "Inspired writers interpret the word spiritually, while the ordinary historian interprets it literally." She answers the question of Jesus' appearance in two ways. First, she states that Jesus of Nazareth was the most scientific man that ever trod the globe. And second, she speaks of the spiritual Jesus who was not seen. Because of mortals' material and sinful belief, the spiritual Jesus was imperceptible to them. Mary, Jesus' mother, is an interesting study illustrating the distinction between Adam's dream narrative and her divine humanhood. Mary caught a sense of the motherhood of God, recognizing Christ as God's son, not the son of herself or Adam. The babe, Jesus, however, was of herself, the human demonstration on earth of her divine conception. Mrs. Eddy explains it this way: God did not make the infant Jesus. If her conception had been wholly from God, it would have been the concept of a man instead of a babe, and could not have been born materially of Mary. Jesus was a material man between the human thought of Mary that was half right and the Christ or idea of God that was wholly right. Was Jesus' dual nature different from our own? We seem to know plenty about our sensual physical nature, but a clue to our spiritual origin can be found in the definition of Eve in Science and Health. Eve, a beginning, mortality, the belief that the human race originated materially instead of spiritually. Mrs. Eddy is stating emphatically that the human race has a spiritual origin contrary to Eve's belief, and therefore spiritual humanity is not created or evolved from dust, a rib, or an egg. Another aspect of the record in Chronicles is that it is time-based, one man's life following another up through the ages. Mrs. Eddy states, "It is well to know, dear reader, that our material, mortal history is but the record of dreams, not of man's real existence, and the dream has no place in the science of being." She also affirms, "Time is a mortal thought." Also, the objects of time and sense disappear in the illumination of spiritual understanding. Now we can begin to separate Adam from our spiritual origin and present-day existence. Remove time from our analysis, as well as all notions of passing on one's legacy, similarities of identity, ego, passion, and despair from one generation to the next. We must look deep into realism instead of accepting only the outward sense of things. From this vantage point, no person in Scripture is any closer or distant from us than any other. Each one stands on his own merit. The glossary in Science and Health gives us the original meaning of Adam, Eve, Abel, Abraham, Noah and his sons, Jacob and his sons, Moses, Elias, and Jesus. As people identified with physical bodies, they are all part of the allegory begun in chapter 2 of Genesis. Mortals are the Adam dreamers. But those identified as transformative are part of the permanent record of spiritual progress. Mind measures time according to the good that is unfolded. "I do nothing of myself," identifies Jesus in the dream allegory. "But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things," identifies him as the reflection of spiritual truth. He earned the title of Christ by allowing God to live him in perfect harmony. Not all the names identified, however, correspond with something spiritually transformative. Adam is defined as error, a falsity, the belief in original sin, sickness, and death, evil, the opposite of good. Other individuals show distinct progress towards discovering their spiritual origin. For example, Jacob is defined as a corporeal mortal embracing duplicity, repentance, sensualism, inspiration, the revelation of science, in which the so-called material senses yield to the spiritual sense of life and love. As an acknowledgement of this transformation, the angel that spoke to him said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Mrs. Eddy was asked, "Is it correct to say of material objects that they are nothing and exist only in imagination?" "In part," she answered, "nothing and something are words which need correct definition. My sense of the beauty of the universe is that beauty typifies holiness and is something to be desired. Earth is more spiritually beautiful to my gaze now than when it was more earthly to the eyes of Eve. The pleasant sensations of human belief, of form and color, must be spiritualized until we gain the glorified sense of substance, as in the new heaven and earth, the harmony of body and mind. What mortals hear, see, feel, taste, smell, constitutes their present earth and heaven. But we must grow out of even this pleasing thraldom. Sinning man's view of the world was not Jesus's view of the world. Mrs. Eddy writes, "If you will admit with me that matter is neither substance, intelligence, nor life, you may have what is left of it, and you will have touched the hem of the garment of Jesus's idea of matter." As humans, we are offered everything that Christ knows, and the body corresponds with what governs it. Ego, vengeance, passion, willful judgment, and the certainty of death make the whole body sick and the whole heart faint, and the world appears threatening and destined to failure. A body formed under this regime must suffer the same fate as Cain, who refused to love his brother. On the other hand, humility, repentance, selfless caring, and love for one another signals a more wholesome state of governance. As one's consciousness ascends, the body and nature are naturally rejuvenated. Spiritual humanhood emerges as light beaming from within, making every lie and liar too absurd for consideration. When all sin is driven out of consciousness, the veil is lifted. Form as matter disappears, and one's spiritual identity, including his view of the universe, remains in its original, perfect, beautiful state. As we begin to understand the grand lesson of each Bible figure, the clarity of Scripture brightens, and we begin to witness the miracle of our own transformation from sense to soul. We are spiritually defined as God's likeness and glory before the world was.